Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. I just realized I am on mute. I was on mute. I was just talking, and I am on mute. So forgive me. Alhamdulillah. Welcome to another addition to the CWSC Friday Roundtable. And no wonder Alia couldn't hear. She was thinking something was wrong with her phone, but it was my phone. Alia, are you there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, you know what? And I was thinking, no, it wasn't your phone. I was on mute.
And he kept telling me, the thing he kept telling me, unmute. And I said, I am unmuted. So
something
I called your phone, and your phone was muted. And I said, okay.
Alhamdulillah, you know what? It's Friday.
I know.
But
I know.
It's always our day, our Muslim day on Friday. So excuse me, listening audience. I apologize. I was talking all that time on mute. So alhamdulillah, we are back on track.
Alhamdulillah.
So how are you today, yes. Sister Alia Abdul-Rahman? Alhamdulillah.
I'm doing well, mashallah. Juma Mubarak, Ramadan Kareem, and how are you, my sister?
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Hey, look, after I get off mute, I'm okay now. So, alhamdulillah, I'm off mute. So, and welcome, listening audience. Ramadan Mubarak, and we have Juma Mubarak, and welcome to the CWSC Friday Roundtable. And again, I am one of your hosts, Latifa A. Hameen, with my co-host, Ali Abdul Rahman. So we are going to continue on again, and we always want to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all of the praise. Oh Allah, we cannot manage this life alone by ourselves. Please make our life what you want it to be, what you prefer it to be. Do not allow us to act on our own. Help us to act only in obedience to you, Almighty God Allah. We hear and we obey. Our Lord, grant us what you have promised us by thy messengers and disgrace us not on the day of resurrection. Surely you do not break your promise. O Allah, you are our Lord. There is no God but you. You created us and we are your servants and we uphold our covenant to you as much as we are able. We seek refuge in you from the evil we have done. We acknowledge your favor and we acknowledge our sin. So please forgive us. There is none who can forgive sins except for you. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Again, ameen, we always ameen, try ameen. To open up, alhamdulillah, giving Allah the praise and the glory, alhamdulillah. All right, we are going to continue with our program since we're a little bit off this morning. So, how's your week been? Your week been good?
Alhamdulillah, I'm thankful we're in the middle of Ramadan now. So, you know, we got to rev it up because this is the month of mercy and this is the month of blessings. And so the month of more prayer. And so, alhamdulillah, yes. And how is your Ramadan as well?
Alhamdulillah. We just got back. Just want to throw that in. Just got back from Florida. We did the United Ali with the Tampa Bay Area Muslim Association. Our executive director, Martha, was there, and we had some board members. We had Imam Omar Shakir, and we had Sister Priscilla El-Ukta. We had her as well, and we had all of the beautiful, beautiful people. And we also had Aisha K. Mustafa. She was our keynote, wonderful sister. She's just a very I would say poised sister. She's just a beautiful soul. And she will be on talking about it in a couple of weeks. So look for Aisha K. Mustafa to be on the 21st, inshallah. That should be close to the Eid. We're not going to air. If that's the Eid, we won't do the Friday roundtable because we're going to have, inshallah, we're going to have Eid prayer from all of the coasts. We have the East Coast, the West Coast, and we also have the Midwest. So we'll be having all of the Eid prayers starting at, inshallah, about 7 o'clock in the morning. And so it depends on the time zone, what time it would be. Yes, well, inshallah. We don't know if it's going to be.
Right, I'm looking at the calendar. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it says it's going to be the Eid. So we'll see, inshallah.
Oh.
We'll let everybody know.
Okay, yes.
But we will be having Eid prayer in all three coasts. Okay. Pacific, Central, and Eastern, inshallah.
Okay.
So we will not air, if it's Eid, we will not air the Friday roundtable because we will be having all our Eid prayer, Eid
activities. And,
so,
yeah.
Alhamdulillah, that's forthcoming.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay? So,
yeah.
So know that, listening audience, that is forthcoming. But we're going to get into, let's get our guests here, and then I have some more announcements to make. But first of all, let's get our guests on so we can, we're going to introduce him as Babu Blakes. He is a scholar, MC, deliberately walking through the intersection of hip-hop, education, and spirituality. He is award-winning educational consultant, keynote speaker, musician, and author whose picture book, Elle's Mirror, is co-authored by his 11-year-old son. A former middle school humanitarian teacher, Blake primarily designs and delivers professional learning opportunities for teachers, principals, and leaders with clients including the Los Angeles Unified School District, the University of Texas at Austin Athletic Department, and more. The antithesis of a sit and get lecture. He is celebrated for incorporating theatrical, musical, and lyrical elements into learning facilitation. Without further ado, we are going to bring on Bavu Blake. Good morning. Did I say your name right? Is it Bavu?
It's Bavu.
Bavu. Good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we're very, very close. How are you this morning?
I'm doing wonderful, and I appreciate the invitation. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh,
well, you know,
yeah, I'm doing.
We
I'm
always want
doing well this morning. Thank you for the invitation. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you taking time out of your schedule because I know you're a busy, busy person. So we're so thankful that you could join us this morning. We're going to give you 5 to 7 minutes, and I'm going to let you talk more about who you are and some of the things that you do because I know I know his mother. I met him through his mom. We were at a conference, and I was like, and I like, you know, what he was doing. And I said, yes, we could get you on because we always want to bring people on that are making a difference in the community, that is giving back to the community. So I am going to turn it over to you, Bavu, and you have the floor.
Okay, sure. And please let me know when to stop because I won't be watching the clock. I never do. I never do. Let's see. I am a child of Alvin and Carol Blakes, who both grew up in Eden Park area of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So you're talking 44th and Gus Young. They grew up on the same street, on the same block. As a matter of fact, in the last 48 hours, I became the oldest male descendant of my mother's father because my uncle passed away, and he was the last man in that previous generation. Who was a direct descendant of my grandfather, Jesse Lee Francois. And so I'm a child of Louisiana and Mississippi directly. And you know my father, so you know he goes a great lengths to spend, you know, decades of his life doing the genealogy work in order to create our family history through primary source research that he's done for most of my life. And so I, unlike my family.
Let me just say real quick that your father has been on the Friday Roundtable twice. He's given us a lot of genealogy and history, and it's really been wonderful. So we'll have to get him back on. So we have had his father on two times here on the CWSC Friday Roundtable. All right, sorry about that.
That's okay. Well, I bring it up because it paints a picture of what I come from. Mm-hmm. You know, in terms of folks who are very serious about youth leadership, folks who are very serious about family and very serious about mentorship and about Black community. So, you know, I'm basically a child of, you know, the early 1970s. So we're talking about the era of independent African schools, which I started in one of the, you know, founding schools called Watoto Shule. I was born in Washington, D.C., and then we moved down to Texas when I was 8 years old. My father's a mechanical engineer by trade. My mother, again, like I said, they both spent a lot of times in youth leadership, a lot of time in youth leadership. So these are big influences on me. I always identified as a writer growing up. And because I was born in the early 70s, I think that, you know, the emergence of hip-hop was very attractive to me as a form of expression as a Black man growing up in the 70s and 80s. And so I gravitated towards that you know, and more so the teachers, if you will, or the cultural stewards, very intentional cultural stewards who took on. So if you think about, I don't know, your KRS-One, your Tribe Called Quest, you know, those the Rakims, those kind of artists really influenced me when I was around my son's age. So, you know, late elementary school, early middle school. And so I was always a writer, wrote poetry, started getting into music a lot, got a scholarship to study journalism down at University of Texas at Austin. So I went to that. What was very interesting, though, is, you know, all of my family, mother, father, sisters, they all went to HBCUs, and I ended up at a HWCU, which is UT Austin. So I've experienced these contrasts of, you know, my family's from here, I'm born here, I end up in Garland, Texas, which in the 80s as an eight-year-old was an extreme contrast from what I know of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Washington, D.C. previously in my life. So it was very interesting to navigate that place because all of a sudden there's sort of this renegotiation and consideration of what other people think when they see a young black man. Everything that I had learned up to that point was so empowering, affirmative, positive, historically continuous. And then all of a sudden, I'm in a suburb of Dallas, Texas in the early 80s around, you know, not only, you know, white folks who have their historical stance on who I'm supposed to be, but also black folks who really had taken in, you know, that narrative around what intellectualism, what embracing your own culture and history, just feeling like that was an other thing. So this is not true of everyone, but I felt like just overwhelmingly it was a culture shock because I come from an understanding that we were these, you know, just eternally excellent people, and all of a sudden that's being renegotiated just in my everyday social context as a kid growing up. So fast forward, studied broadcast journalism, worked in sports, PR, interned at a lot of newspapers, just always in some kind of journalism, and eventually just eloped with my, you know, passion to make records. So I've made about 23 vinyl records. Got married, have two amazing children, a wonderful wife. And I guess what this all culminates to is two things. Number one, I have a educational agency, if you will, called Hip Hop Grew Up, you know, and the focus of that is that people from that generational experience and cultural experience, you know, born between mid-60s to mid-80s, we are now decision makers, parents, leaders, and sometimes even grandparents, you know, in our age group. And so what is our legacy? Where does our experience and wisdom benefit children? And so I have some influence in several of the communities I'm connected to, educational communities and then, you know, localized communities, cultural communities, arts communities. And so just really using kind of that guiding perspective to frame all of my work. What is the value of the life we've lived to the youth of today? And just asking that question over and over again in many ways. And then secondly, just this philosophy around the fact that education is way more important than school, because I think a lot of people confuse those two things or try to make them synonyms when they're absolutely not, because in a typical school scenario, the education, and I guess I split those apart in terms of school is really about learning what you have to learn, experiencing what you have to experience, and much of the educational process at school is really around compliance and kind of outdated standards and frames of what you need to learn. It's teaching you about winners and losers and compliance and following the rules and avoiding punishment and things of that nature, as opposed to education, which is not the question of what you are required to learn or forced to learn or have to learn. Education is more so what you need to learn. And as I'm sure both of you know by doing a lot of good living as human beings on planet Earth, most education happens in community and not necessarily in a formalized school space. So mm-hmm. I've been spending a lot of time breaking those two concepts apart from one another. And for an example, when my son went to kindergarten with his high expectations for school, he's in a school that's, you know, majority black, brown, international type of community. very few white students at this school that we're zoned to here in our neighborhood. And yet, within that first year, he had experiences where, you know, kids were trying to practice some kind of racist exclusion with him, like, you can't play on this playground because you're not white. I'm like, who said that when there's barely any white kids at your schools? Or where the librarian didn't want to give him a certain book because she felt like it was above his level, despite the fact that he's asking for it by name, you know. Or the other experience where too engaged in a lesson when the teacher's finally teaching something he's interested in. He already knew how to read and write and whatnot. So, you know, kindergarten wasn't going to give him a lot academically. But when she started getting on animals, which is something he really studied deeply for years, he really got into it, corrected her pronunciation on something, connected to something else she was talking about that he'd already been studying at home. But based on the fact that he was talking out, not raising his hand, she actually sent him to another classroom and didn't call me. And so when I picked him up, he's in tears. And I tell you those three stories because we use those stories to create a children's book where instead of looking to, you know, the school for leadership, we're looking to our family and we're looking to historical figures that endured similar issues and went on to achieve great things. And so that's the way we frame that story around this concept of what you most often don't find at school, which is a mirror that affirms you and connects you to powerful, amazing people who come before you. In the school setting, especially as black folks, we don't get a sense of historical continuity. You know, it starts with that interruption. So you can go, you know, tens of thousands of years, or you can start 400 years ago and act like we were created in a lab as enslaved people in European colonies. And so the lack of historical continuity, I was just reading this from Jawanza Kunjufu the other day, you know, where the lack of historical continuity really stunts our growth as spiritual beings, as intellectual beings, in terms of our identity. If you take that historical continuity away and say, you're not really coming from too much, therefore you're not really offering too much to the future either. If you can really suffocate that sense of historical continuity, I think that's a great way to keep our power in check. And so essentially that book is about what power exists in that mirror, which offers historical continuity, which offers affirmation of the eternal excellence that we actually are. And so I think I stayed in your time limit, but I wanted to give you just a kind of framing of, you know, who I am and what I do. Did that meet the mark for what you're asking?
Yes. I mean, it's really interesting, yes. You know, because when you said about education versus schooling, I'm listening, and you're right. A lot of times the students, they do go to school just to, you know, just to, because of something that, of course, we have to do. But we encourage them, and I like a lot of the education you say is learned when they're, you know, with the people, their peers, or out there in the community and in their neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. That's when you really learn. You really, the education begins there. So, I mean, I like that concept. Now, and I don't know if you had something that you wanted to say, Alia.
Yeah, I did. I agree with what Latifah just said, and brother, when you said educational versus schooling, if you ask any one of my three children, four children, however many I've raised in the community, I said, you're not going to school to make friends. And that's one of my main things, because it's so much you can take from the school, but mostly it's brick and mortar. The school, everything you said, I enjoyed. I wish you could just, you have a book on that.
I do.
Because education is important.
Yeah.
You can get it anywhere.
That's right. And you should get it anywhere. And most importantly,
absolutely.
Who you, most importantly, there's a space between your self-concept, who you think you are, and why you think that's who you are, right? There's a space between that, who you are,
that's right.
and who you want to be.
Who you want to be.
In between,
absolutely.
In between those two things are two pieces that inform your educational agenda. One of those is, who do I need to be to get to who I want to be? And the other one is, what do I need to learn and understand, and what habits and skills do I need to develop to be who I want to be? And those two sessions in the middle, that's your educational agenda. And when you go to school,
that's
you're not
right.
dealing with all of that. But that's what you really need. And so often we have to catch up when we're out of school. It's like nights and weekends and summers where we actually explore those things that we need the most.
That's right. And we need to know who the parents are who are educating their children, because we have a generation now that just finds, you know, wearing designer clothes is what they have to do. And that's why so many children were getting shot and killed and over materialism. That's not your education. Mm-hmm. Going to school, you know, find the good. And that's why I said from the beginning, I told my kids, you're not going to school to make friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they just ran with that. Yeah, because that gets you in a lot of trouble. And you're going for at least the positive you can get in that education from that brick and mortar. But I homeschool mine as well. So, it's a big issue. I appreciate what you said. Because that social confinement, tolerance, brick and mortar, that whole thing is just
and also,
what who I said.
I'm sorry. Are you finished?
I'm finished.
Okay. So, Neville, how do you – I know you talk to the children, which was real interesting to me when I met you. You said – I didn't get a chance to listen to your presentation at the conference, which I sure didn't. But I wanted to ask you, because you said that you do it through hip-hop. You talk to the children, through your hip-hop. Can you explain a little bit more, give us some examples of how you do that in terms of getting that education across to the youth through hip-hop?
Please. Yeah.
Sure. I think a lot of times what people imagine that to mean is that I'm going into a classroom or a community learning space and doing a bunch of rapping at kids. But that's not what it means at all. That's not what it means at all. It's more what, when you break that down, hip-hop, what does that really mean, right? Now, obviously that's a word, you know, that can be used as a pejorative or a negative term or, you know, a way – that folks who are, you know, against us, can use that as a code word, almost like a slick little slur. But if you break it down to what it really means, it means that I represent a generational identity, as in a time in history where folks boldly learned to express themselves with whatever resources they had in a way that was not going to deny them showing their light, being heard, expressing their ideas, calling out what they need to call out, building businesses, right, that are rooted in communities, to where you end up with all these different authentic voices and forms of expression that are all tied to physical places and geographical communities. In other words, you know, they call them scenes that are popping up, scenes of the movement of art in a place like New Orleans, or scenes from the Bronx in New York, or scenes from Dallas, Texas. And so when I say hip-hop, I'm really talking about a cultural movement in a certain time and space, you know, that where I'm from will produce, you know, DOC, Erykah Badu, me. And so what I'm translating this to is that there's a certain slice of society in a place such as the United States of America, that and the school system has a lot to do with this, where people are sorted into certain societal roles. Like, we're going to produce an underclass, we're going to produce people who can't produce for themselves, who will be dependent on systems and boost the economy without enjoying much of it for themselves. We're going to produce winners and losers. We're going to produce fast learners and slow learners. We're going to produce smart people and people who aren't smart. We're going to produce athletes and athletes only, or we're going to produce athletes who are also scholars. But there's a sorting system and a tracking system that by the time people are finished with their schooling experience, they have these labels on them that they really believe, based on the evaluation and assessment that's been typical for a long time in the school system. So what does that have to do with hip-hop? It's the interruption of I understand that this system is not designed to set us up to thrive and bloom. It doesn't recognize our genius, right? They'd rather call something jazz, for example, than just call it African intellectual genius and leave it at that. It's like there always has to be a framing that allows somebody outside of that culture and that community and that genius, artistic or creative space. There's always got to be framed in a way where somebody outside can benefit and use our bodies and our work and our genius and our intellect to set up a market, to set up commerce that so often we're the last people to touch and last people to benefit from. We get to be on the stage and adored, especially as we get older. But when we're younger, there's a threat. So that's a really long answer to say that hip-hop represents what the power of young people is, the power of black people, the power of Caribbean people, the power of, you know, Puerto Rican people. I'm naming those names explicitly because it represents a movement of what power folks have, even when everything positions them as powerless. So I bring that energy into learning spaces in terms of hip-hop, because the least likely people to succeed in communities and in school systems, per the larger social structure we're sitting in, the people who are set up to be least likely to succeed are the same slice of society that produced hip-hop in the first place. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Now, what would you give as an example if you were, educating?
Yes.
And I want you to hold that thought.
So
I want
example.
You to give me some examples.
Yes.
And I want
so
you to hear that.
One example is learning by doing. So instead of me giving you some words you don't know and saying you need to know them and you need to learn them and there's a quiz on Friday, instead of that, let's have an experience. Let's do something. Let's play something. Let's enjoy ourselves. Let's get in a scenario where we have to communicate. And then let's name what happened, and then I can assign you the fancy words later after you already have the understanding of what those terms mean because you've experienced it. So instead of experiencing a name, assigning terminology and making people feel like they're smarter if they know the words that I know or they know the way that I explain a thing or I give it to them and I need them to repeat it back to me to call them smart, instead of that, let's get on the level where we can experience something and then we name it. So what we did at the conference, for example, I was working with the youth at the conference where I met you, Sister Latifah, and we played a game where the students are in a circle and their challenge is to count to 100, but if you have a 3, a 6, or a 9 in the number, then you clap instead of say the number. And what happens is sometimes people make mistakes or they don't understand. This demands students to communicate to be successful at the game. This demands the children to know how to communicate with each other because they can't talk while the game's in play. But every time they fail, they can talk all they want before they start again. In other words, this was by doing this game, quote unquote, they had to learn what it takes to communicate, what it takes to strategize together, what it takes to not be so proud that you treat each other like strangers. And so it was an experience designed for them to practice being in community. But if I did it the other way around and said, hey, everybody, these are the rules of how you treat each other in the community, da-da-da, then that's boring. And so instead of, again, delivering a lecture, typically a really horrible way to engage youth, instead give them an experience, let them explain what's happening. Ask them simple questions like, what does this have to do? I used the theme of the conference we were at, which I think had to do with – we're going to be in the white car, son. I used the theme of the conference, which was on the – I'm trying to remember what it is off the top of my head, but it was something about –
Yeah, I don't remember. I forgot what it was as well.
Okay. So there was a theme of the conference, and I basically used an experience where they played a game, experienced a game, And I kept asking them what that had to do with those two specific themes of the conference. And so I'm setting it up in a way where I expect the brilliance, I expect the genius, I expect them to have what they need already. My job is to facilitate it and draw it out, which is what the word education actually means. It doesn't mean to directly teach people and indoctrinate them to the facts or the ideas that you espouse, that you feel like they're not complete, they're not learned, they're not smart unless they understand what you want them to. The word education is actually about leading people in learning and drawing out what's already there. And so I think, again, in hip-hop, we always have forced people to acknowledge the power that we hold, the genius that we are. And so I approach education in that way. So I hope that better answers your question.
Wow. We have a caller that I want to get to. This is so interesting.
It is interesting, yeah.
408. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Bilal.
Wa alaikum assalam. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. And I'm thankful for the brother on the program and also your co-worker. Praise be to Allah for your co-worker.
Alhamdulillah.
This is Ramadan. I want to say this poem on the dead, but I have something like to say after that.
Okay,
you got me now?
Yes.
Praise be to Allah. Okay, thank you. This is a poem I wrote I'd like to share. We have a chance to experience how it would be if we had our own schools. A summer retreat, it would be a blessing just to take a look, probably some recitation from our sacred book. Just a thought make us feel good. Our youth and an environment free of lots of corruption and sin. Lil Bilal can really find a friend. Sally, nobody has to be afraid of a fight occurring. Our camp curriculum have time out for the most important thing, recognizing God and praying. We are having a good time, not losing our soul and mind. There will be order and discipline. There are persons available for those who cross the line. No need to worry if a mistake is made. Our children will say they're sorry. This will increase their faith. They are with believers who will keep them safe. Our young children's lives are at stake. May Allah, our God, keep us safe and increase our faith. And in that situation where you're dealing with hip hop, I love the poetic life. I really enjoy it. And I look at this as something that that God gave to me so I could be productive, but also I can come into a reality of who I am as a person. And when I study the growth of hip hop and where it stands today, it's kind of like, yeah, it started out a certain way in New York, Bronx, or whatever it was, up, screwed up. Because hip hop got its own government, you know, and they got their own way of saying things and doing things, though. But it's not as positive as it is negative. Mm-hmm. You get to the point where women are disrespected, the people got to perform and act crazy, all out of sorts. Gun violence, drug use, thing that really need to be cleaned up or should be stopped. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, yeah, I'm in New Orleans right now. It's kind of like, we're going to have a big talk about something that's very special, but we're going to have a festival and we're going to be just eating any kind of thing, drinking, getting high, loading, everything. Why do we have to feel there's always got to be a party for our mind to focus on something. Mm-hmm. And that's where I look at that situation. Hip-hop is really a very, very strange thing And when you look at the clothing, you know, the clothes that they have to wear now and what it does to them. Anytime something's going to make us put our children, our youth into uniform because of the fact that they don't have the right name brand shoes and all that, we need to look into that stuff. You know, and I want to present myself as a person. I want to present my self-worth. I want to represent, you know, to be some good spoken word artist. I like them to have a great curiosity and imagination about life, and that would give them the edge over being what's good for humanity, not just something to play with. No song and dance. Straight up, how it is. I see a lot of foolishness. You know, hip-hop ain't no joke. Very, very destructive. And we better take it at that, too. That is very, very destructive. I wouldn't infuse that kind of like infusing good health with candy, cookies.
Yeah, but you know, the way that he was talking about hip hop and Babel, you can jump in. The way he was talking, it wasn't like the hip hop that you know that is portrayed out here like that, you know, like the way that it's portrayed out here. He's talking a different, putting it in a different category. Am I right, Bevel? Am I, you know, because I'm looking at what he's saying, you know, with hip-hop and what I think of hip-hop in my mind when I think of hip-hop. But then you have another version of the way education
He has
is
another approach.
Yes.
I completely connect with what Brother Bilal is saying.
Right.
And I think I embody what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I completely connect with what he's saying, because what he's saying is I'm not going to intentionally lead you to destruction, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so from my perspective, my approach is keeping those destructive elements away from children.
Mm-hmm.
And doing something that is constructive and instructive, but not leading to a mainstream culture that is sold out for the dollar. I mean, he broke it all down. And it goes back to what I said earlier, which is that's what happened. We can have a beautiful thing, and then it gets commodified by people who exploit it for a dollar, and then you got people who are desperate and need a dollar, so they end up following the corporate version of it and not being connected to the historical continuity of how it came to be in the first place. So that brings almost everything we're talking about together.
Right. And you're bringing a positive approach. You're bringing a whole other type of approach. So I think we all are on the same page with that hip-hop. You're letting them know that they can be educated, they can be smart, that they can go this route. And you can speak. You are articulate. You don't have to curse. You don't have to demeanize women.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
That's why it's called Hip-Hop Grew Up, because it represents, remember that initial question I talked about, which is, and I'll just ask the question the way that I ask it in my work. How does the hip-hop generation leverage its resources for today's generation? Not against them.
Mm-mm.
Not to destroy them, not to dismiss them, not to ignore them, but also not to follow the destructive elements of what has been leading you based on, you know, a contaminated, commercialized, commodified version of a thing. And so, I really connect to the poetry and the message of what Brother Bilal is saying, because my argument is that if you've been around and you're influenced by that, if your wisdom and experience and your interpretation of the culture and the genius of black folks is not a blessing and a benefit to the next generation, then you need to renegotiate or question yourself or, you know, in the words of the ancients, just sit down somewhere.
I want to Sister Latifah and also to the brothers and your co-hosts also. Now, you see, I was like a Johnny come lately. I just really heard about maybe 10 minutes of his talk. So I didn't have a perception in my mind about where he was at, you see. And I'm just thankful to God that He brought me and cleared things, a lot of things up for me. So it's kind of like I need to be mindful of not just coming in halfway doing something and then start pouring all my stuff on it. So I'm thankful for you, brother, and you know, we want success for you. And like I said, I just came in on the halfway point of it. I didn't have enough knowledge really to maybe just to come out with all the stuff that I did. But I'm glad that you're intelligent enough and you're wise enough and you're respectful enough. And I'm glad that you are who you are. And, you know, thank God for you. All right.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you so much, Brother Lyle. And he just broke it all down. I like that.
Beautiful.
All right.
Beautiful.
Yes. Now I'm listening.
Thank y'all.
Beautiful. Brother Lyle showed up with rhymes and everything. You showed up with rhymes and everything. And so,
that's what he
on
does.
The one hand, yeah, and on the one hand, yes, we have to be graceful to each other, but, you know, whether you knew it or not, you came in with an echo and kind of a summary of what we were already talking about. So,
yeah.
You know, there may have been some misunderstanding, but there was no confusion.
That's right.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
We're going to have to take a station identification break. Thank you so much, Brother Bilal. We appreciate you.
Okay,
I have another caller. Please hold on. We haven't taken our break, but I have to take a break, and then we'll come back and get you, inshallah. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back, inshallah.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sabrita Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
And welcome back to the CWSC Friday Roundtable. We have our guest, Babu Lake, here today. Wow, it's been so enlightening. He's talking about hip-hop and how you can educate through hip-hop, but not the hip-hop that we know it, the negative version. Mm-hmm. We're talking more of the positive version. Let's bring on 727-408. Assalamualaikum, sister.
Praise be to Almighty God. This is Martha Nyla calling from St. Petersburg, Clearwater, Florida. Down here in the, I guess, the southern port of the United States. And I thank you. Greetings of peace to all of you there, and especially to our guest, dear Brother Dawood, and you, Aliyah and Latifa, and to all our listeners. Wow. As I listened, I quickly referenced, for some reason, I referenced the what was termed as the neighborhood that became, and I'm referring to the Jewish community now, real quickly, as not the slum, but it was another word. And if anybody can think with me, that you'll know
I'm
what I'm
trying
mean.
To think, but I.
It's like they squeezed the people were squeezed so tightly until they had to create something to emerge from that depression or that oppression, and it came up with this beautiful thing that said, you know, what speaks for my internal self. And so I think was the word, but anyway, it'll come to me, God willing. In the 60s and that I was coming up, and, you know, when we were going through the times of we African descendants were going through the times of being put on curfew and such, many individuals found it good to not riot, but to have something that only we could bring out. And if it was walking the street and singing, if it was standing on the corner and singing, or doing poems, or doing a certain dance, or doing the hopscotch, or the jump rope, and the double dutch, and all of that, it gave some, and you know, of course, we did apple bobbing, your head in the water and grab the apple. The thing is, the culture, because of the oppressiveness from the economic stream and having to work in fields and what have you, at the end of the day, that you still had to have that cultural expression that gave you peace beyond now, and it was a part of the church life as well, that gave you that sense of dignity. And when I think of hip-hop, I see the same thing happen through a socioeconomic depression part that was happening here in the country. And as it emerged, yes, the influence of, you know, like the Daddy Dollar got in there, and some things were incorporated, but the most thing was reacting to that socioeconomic pressure, but befriending one another, the love and the contact and what you do, I can outdo you, and competition in the good sense, and then developing a sense of economics through that, because things were so oppressive. I don't want to go too far out, but I do sense of what where the beauty is in it. And then to the educational, dear brother, thank you so very much for sharing it in the way that you did. And unfortunately, your son experienced that process that you and he, I guess you're saying your family developed. You did mention a book, I think, that has come out of that, and the communication that you and your son have. On the same side, same note, I'm always saying to the young people that I mentor, I'm saying I'd much rather connect with where they are and take them on early morning rides, like you say, experience, and then we discuss what did that make you feel. How did you feel seeing the daybreak happen? And if we incorporate prayers in the midst of it. But we just drive for about 40 miles and go somewhere and end up. It's like you've gone a whole long journey, but you decide what it makes, how it made you feel, and then you write it down, and then you label what your book, your story will be. I'll stop right there. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikum salam. Appreciate you. Wow.
Yeah.
I know. That was little deep. Yeah, she gets in there. She deals a lot with your youth as well. So she does. She does with the youth, and she has that kind of connection. There's a natural connection that she has with the young people coming in. We have another caller, 810-399. Hi, Salaam Alaikum. You're on the CWSC Friday Roundtable. State your name and where you're calling from, please. Wa alaikum assalam to you, Latifa Hameen, and to your co-host and to the brother Dawood that's on there. This is, and to the AM360 family, this is the Preeta Hadi, and I am calling from Flint, Michigan. I just want to say, wow, this young man that you have on here today, I'm certainly appreciating all of the information that he is sharing. And what I want to reference is when he talked about educating, because, and you know, today we still have older people and a number of older people that did not get the proper understanding of what being education and getting education was about. And so today they're unable to actually even present their thoughts in an organized manner, you know, to even, and so that brings about an unsurety within themselves, you know. Mm-hmm. And so when you said, young man, about educating and giving the person the opportunity to not just, okay, open up the book and read what you got there, and answer these questions what we asked you in terms of what was directly in the book in terms of educating. You said to them, oh, okay, yeah, I want you to read it. Yeah, you read it, but I want you to tell me rather than me telling you what I want you to pick out of this book and learn. I want you to read it, and you tell me what you found in the book to share. And that, and in that process, it gives the child, and especially at that time of just getting into education, an opportunity to express themselves, and they'll grow up with that. So that's what caught my ear when you were talking about education. I'm an educator myself in terms of making sure that these youngsters do the same as you're talking about. But I've noticed we got older people, and they are just so within their shell because they didn't have someone like yourself with that thought to come in and help them understand that they have to bring out of themselves what they know instead of, you know, telling them to learn what's in that book and then tell me that. What's in the book? I don't want to know what you're talking about. I want you to tell me what was in the book. That type of educational system that has come up. We like in your presentation this day and time. And I think that for these youngsters that are coming along now to have this opportunity to get in that type of a design of education, they, when they grow up, they'll be able to present themselves into society and actually become a productive person in that society. I want to thank you so kindly for allowing me the opportunity to share my thinking on when you said and presented about educating one. Thank you so kindly, brother. Keep up the great work, and you as well, Latifa, and your goals. And Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're getting all the best callers so tapped into everything we're talking about. It's sending chills down my spine. How in tune the callers are to our conversation. It's crazy.
Enlightening. And Babu, we're gonna have to have you back on our program,
please.
We could have had you for easily a 2 hour.
I know.
Absolutely.
I know. I'm looking at the time.
Oh,
my goodness.
Oh, yeah. We have to get out. We have another guest that we have to have on. But you know what, Babu, can we talk and get you back on?
Please.
Of course.
Because
I'd
love to hear more about what you're doing.
Right.
You know?
Of course. This is very... very edifying, because I have a lot more to say based on the interaction with the callers, but I know, you know, we have time constraints. So, yeah, absolutely. Please keep in touch. Like I said, I really appreciate the invitation. I have a strong understanding of why we did this today now. This is a, I was wondering what's this going to be, because I knew we were just going to have a conversation. I knew it was going to be fruitful, but I'm really blown away by this experience. So of course, let's keep in touch.
Let me put this out here right now, Bevel. Can you come? We're going to have people that's going to be sworn in for offices the first hour. When can you come the second hour next week?
What is day? What day, Latifa?
On the 14th, can you come for coming in our second hour at 9? And 9 to 10?
Because I'm writing it down on my calendar.
Okay. No, I'm asking
that's
you. Not, you not,
I know, but I'm writing it.
9 Eastern on the 14th?
Yes,
9 Eastern on the 14th.
Hold on just a moment, and I'll let you know.
Okay. And if he can come on, because we have the people that are being sworn into officers or directors and other positions next week. We have that, so we don't want to miss that for next week. That's going to be our first hour. And then if he can come the second hour, that would be such a blessing. To finish
it would be, and I'm
started.
At my calendar. So, yeah, I'm getting ready to write
I cannot
it.
Do
he
that.
Says yes?
No, I can't.
Yeah.
I have a presentation in that hour.
Can you do the first
What's that?
Hour? Can you
Say
do the
again?
First hour like you did from, can you do 8 to
7?
9? Yeah, 7
yeah,
to
I think
central.
I can. Like today. Yeah, I think I can do it.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Okay. We'll do that. And I'm pretty sure Martha will be okay with us doing that the second hour. So, all right.
Okay,
so let's get you scheduled for the first hour, inshallah. Oh, that's Martha right there. Hold on.
All right.
Martha?
Will you be able to do that? Yes, you can amend it to whatever to make it. And the word is ghetto, y'all. My son just walked
in. Ghetto.
My son just walked in, and I asked him, I said, what is it that they call a slum that when you are pushed into it, he said, ghetto, just like that.
Alhamdulillah. So, yeah, we'll bring him on the first hour, and then we'll have what do we call that, Martha? Now you tell me what we're going to have at
the
second hour.
Warning.
Officiating. Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay. We can push the officiating time back because we really want to hear our dear brother again. So,
yes.
Please.
Thank you so much.
We're
kind of blown away from what you've been talking about, too, Bevel. Very, very interesting. So we're going to look forward to having a part two with Bevel Blake on next Friday, listening audience,
it's going to be
7 o'clock Central. Inshallah.
Okay.
Inshallah.
8 to 9.
So we look forward to it. Thank you so much, and we're looking forward to continuing this conversation, inshallah. Thank you.
Thank you
for taking time and being with us this morning. And inshallah, God willing, we'll see you, or we will talk with you next
week
at this time.
Thank you.
That's right.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Goodbye. All right. We are going to, alhamdulillah, we're so happy that he could be here next week at the same time. So we're going to continue what we started. And, wow, this is so interesting. All right. We are going to make that shift. I'm going to turn it over to you, Alia, to make that shift. Cheryl, if you're online, press 1 to get in the queue. Cheryl, if you're online, press 1 to get in the queue. And you are going to, I'm going to turn it over to your hands. There she is. I'm going to turn it over to you to introduce Cheryl. All righty.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning, Cheryl. I'm going to give your bio. I'm so excited. Cheryl Sadouf, Miami activist, mentor, leader, organizer, disabilities rights advocate, human rights, warrior. Oh, boy, I really chopped that up. you got to correct me with that. Catalyst for Change, Working to Improve the Human Condition. Ms. Cheryl Sadouf is a senior government contract professional, international negotiator, mediator, regulatory and compliance officer with nearly 30 years of business and legal experience, serving in a broad array of senior leadership roles in the commercial, private, and public sectors. A University of Illinois alumna, Cheryl is an intentionalist and a committed, proactive environmental scientist. As a scientist and negotiator who has closed deals with Silicon Valley to Paris, London, Munich, Sydney, and Columbia to D.C., delivering solutions is one of the things she does best. Current contracts, service manager for AC Transit, she has previously led global negotiations and contracting for Maxon Technology, Sony, and Siebel, negotiating multimillion-dollar, multinational, multilingual agreements and training international sales teams, earning her numerous awards and recognitions. Welcome, 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 Cheryl Sadouf. I only said a portion of what you're going to finish telling us today, so welcome. Good morning.
You know you have an extensive bio, sister. You know that, right?
Sister,
And please correct me and forgive me for anything I mispronounced, but you have some words behind your name, and I can't wait to hear them.
Ramadan Mubarak. It's funny because I tell you, it's mommy. And every time somebody sees that, they always say Miami, it's mommy. Mommy? Like mom.
Oh.
Mommy. But it's Spanish for mom. And I always put it first before anything else.
And see, I'm so sorry. Yeah. You know, I'm reading it so tiny on my phone. I'm trying to make it bigger. That is mommy.
No.
Mommy.
It doesn't matter. Every time I've been introduced, mommy. Like, you know, hundreds of times, and every time people read it, and they, because it looks like Miami, many
it
times
does.
People say Miami, and I say, I know, and it's funny because a lot of people say, they say Miami, and I say, no, it's mommy, and it's the one title that I put first. Every other title, out of all the work that I do, that's the one that I value the most. Yes, I'm a wife,
wow.
I do all this other work, but being a mom is first.
Yeah.
They want first.
Mommy. Say it again.
Mommy.
One more time.
Mommy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
mommy.
I like, okay.
It's like,
oh, boy.
Yeah, mommy.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And the other one that you are reading in the second one,
yes.
it's Guerrera. Guerrera is, it means warrior. It means warrior. Yeah, there you go. You got it. Guerrera.
Yes, I'm a phonetic person.
No.
When I see it, I like
so
to pronounce it correctly, phonetically. Guerrera.
So Guerrera, yeah, you got it. You got it.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
I'm doing
yes,
love,
you
Guerrera. Perfect. Oh, good.
It
thank
means
you
warrior.
So much. Really
it means warrior or warriors.
Oh.
So it's human rights like a fighter. Like a
yes.
Fighter. Human rights warrior. This is what it means.
Oh,
this
man. Thank you, Guerrera.
So there's your Spanish lesson for today.
Yes. Thank you. Mommy and Guerrera.
Yes. It's perfect. You say it perfect. Yes. Good morning, everybody. Morning.
Yes. If you can give us 5 to 7 minutes of your, we can take it from there, okay?
5 minutes of my life. So I will tell you, let me tell you something that's not on the colleague that's not on the paper. What's what you don't see on the paper is what we call the why, right? It's yes, I'm a mom, I'm a scientist, and there's nothing that brings me, you know, more pleasure than the work that I do, to be able to do the work that I do, to do the service, then to complete it, knowing that the work that we do brings value to others, especially the community, and knowing that in some way that you're contributing to the betterment of the environment for myself, for others, and for the children for the years that are down the road. But there's a saying that kind of guides me, that when we were very young, you know, Muhammad Ali had a saying about the service is the price we pay for a room here on this earth. And I've heard that since I was small, and it kind of resonates, right? I didn't really quite understand it when I was young, but I understand that meaning as I keep going. And there's another saying that we used to hear when we were younger. I come from a family of we call it the United Nations, because we're so many races. And there's a Dakota saying that says we will be known forever by the tracks that we leave today. Mm. And in Native American language, that means that we don't own this earth. It's the earth that we borrow from this earth and from the future. So the work that we do for water quality, environmental issues, for housing rights, that work is the work we are borrowing from the earth for the future. So we have to produce it there. So the even though, you know, the water that I work with, no river can return to its source. All the rivers must have a beginning, right? So I take that in not necessarily in its literal meaning, but I know that water is a literal and a figurative meaning for how we begin and we end life. So that means that everything we do has to have a source, and everything we do has to have a beginning that moves through life, and it can cause like water can destroy. Water can destroy anything in its pathway. Anything in its pathway. And if you don't believe me, watch a hurricane, watch a tsunami, watch a really powerful storm. Or water can be it, or if you're in a severe drought in the Middle East, in parts of Africa, here in California, watch a severe drought. Water can be devastating. So those properties of water can be very harmful, or it can be very intentionally harmful, helpful. So we have to know that you as an individual have the same kind of properties. The work that you do has, regardless of your intention, may be good, but it's your impact that you have to focus on. So that's why I say I'm an intentionalist. I'm an intentionalist because I'm intentionally looking at what is my impact. You can't just say, oh, I didn't mean to do that. Okay,
right.
But you did. So what is your impact on the world? So I do things with an intentional focus on what is my impact on the human condition, on the backside. As a person with disabilities, it took me a while to understand. I spent about 14 years of my career. The first part of my career I spent, you know, in Silicon Valley, in entertainment with Sony, and then Silicon Valley, and then traveling the globe doing international negotiations. And, you know, young woman, you know, just out of grad school, barely 21 years old, and just working and doing this, you know, international travel and negotiating near-billion-dollar deals. And it sounds a lot more glamorous than it is when you're that young doing this kind of work. But when it was time to make that pivot, working with Department of Justice and working with people with disabilities, I worked with the president, United States President's Office of People with Significant Disabilities, people who are blind or disabled. And that work, as exciting as the work is with Sony and Seawall and the Silicon Valley work, I think the work that I believe most defined who I am as a person is working with wounded warriors and working with people with significant disabilities, because as my own disability began to take shape and my body began to say, I call it reject me, I began to understand more of where I, you know, of how important it is of everyone's humanity. And the skills that I knew I would need now, I did not know 20 years ago. And I learned then. I thought I was teaching people with significant disabilities skills for work and life. And in fact, they were teaching me the skills of resiliency and strength that I would. So as I was empowering them, they were teaching me skills that I did not know I would need 10 years later. And I think that is a lesson that, as I mentioned, the water teaches you, that life teaches you, that you will need. Another proverb that I will tell you is the person who removes a mountain begins by carrying away really small stones. And so as we move through life, that's what I do. I don't let small things get in the way of transforming how life is going to go. So regardless of what I'm working on, that's how I approach things. That's how I look at things. We all have challenges, but those challenges won't just go away by themselves. You can go get a forklift and move a boulder, but underneath that, when you move that one boulder, there's going to be some more. There may be a whole bunch of them that may roll down. So you have to start by moving the small stones that are getting in the way of the work that you're trying to do. So, you know, I'm an environmental scientist. I'm a cell and molecular biologist and biochemist by training. And so my whole focus is very, very methodical, very focused on what we can do for the end product. So when I speak, you hear me say that. I'm very careful about saying that I'm not some of the buzzwords that you hear people say, oh, I'm an environmentalist, oh, I'm this. No, I'm not that. I'm an environmental scientist. I look at things from a very scientific standpoint. Yes, I'm an elected official, but I'm not a politician. I am in politics, but I'm not a politician. I don't prescribe to the ways of being a politician because I believe that the work that we do always focuses about the people. It has been and it always will be about the people, and if ever I feel that it's not about the people, then I won't be in office anymore. That's me.
Wow.
In a nutshell.
Yeah, that's really
wow.
I mean, that's really well said, because, you know, talking to you all of the times that I've talked with you, you are about the people, and everything that you bring is about helping people. And I'm listening, I'm saying, you know, we're in that business, like you said. When you leave in something, what you do, you have to know that that's what you are going to leave behind. And so I think more about that now than I ever thought about it. Because before it was like, okay, I'll do this, I'll do that. But, you know, thinking about that, and this is how I began to do things. Now, I think about that so much more, about how what I'm doing and leaving, you know, what am I going to leave behind? What have I done that's going to make a difference? And so for that, I appreciate that. And I know you've got a question, Aliyah, did you have a question? Because I wanted to, it was going to bring me over. I was going to tie it into, or not tie it in, but I was going to bring it over to Cheryl's program. Cheryl and her, the MAP 5 that comes on on Monday.
On Monday,
The host, co-host, they come on Monday, MAP 5, from 1 to 3 Eastern Standard Time. You have to watch the program. Cheryl has, I mean, and it's her sister, Matala, and brother Fleming, that was me. And I'm telling you, the program is just so eye-opening. Cheryl has, she brings all of these guests, and they're from all over the globe that she brings
the guests on the program. It was so informative and so heavy on political and community and just so thoroughly explained by each guest and each I heard it one time. I just need to get on another time, too. It's every single Monday, 1 to 3, correct?
Yes, Mondays, 1 to 3, Eastern Standard Time. So, and she's going to talk a little bit more. I'm going to take a quick break, and then I want Cheryl to talk a little bit more about what it is, what she puts into Cheryl, what makes the program so interesting and why you bring the people that you bring in. You've already said that it's about the people, and you're so right, because the people you bring in are about the people. So we're going to talk more about that once we come back, and we're going to take a station identification break, come back, and listen to the audience. Be ready, because there's some really great things that they're doing here, right here on AM 360, alhamdulillah. So touch that dial. We'll be right back, inshallah.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and we will explain its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim-hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM 360, where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
Oh, my goodness. All right, welcome back to the CWSC Friday Roundtable. There's a couple of announcements before we go on, Cheryl, before I turn it back over to you. I have a couple of announcements here I'd like to make. First, share your Juma. You know we have that, inshallah, every Friday. It is going to be at 1:30, inshallah, Eastern Standard Time. coming from San Antonio, Texas, with Imam Omar Shakir, which he is one of our hosts. He's a board member and also one of our hosts that comes on every first Sunday with the Basics of El-Islam. So please join us. He will be the Khatib, inshallah, today at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. Also, don't forget we have our telethon. Our telethon is going on the whole month of Ramadan, and I was so engrossed in the other guests that I didn't talk about the telethon. The telethon, we are, inshallah, trying to raise $10,000. That's our goal for the month of Ramadan, and I would like for Martha to press one and let us know how much monies we have in our for our telethon. If you're on, Martha, press one. Here she is here. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum.
Martha. Assalam.
Yeah, praise be to Almighty God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Martha Naylor here from St. Clearwater area and with CWSC. And welcome, Cheryl. Yes, I enjoy Monday. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. To the telethon, stay to the point. We're at $3,375. We're working on that $10,000, right? So everyone, we know that there's someone who has a deep pocket. We can go over the $10,000, but someone who has that deep pocket and they're willing to say, okay, let me just drop this in the bucket for them. But praise be to Him. Praise be to Him, Almighty God. We're thankful for all those who have made the $9.99 commitment, the recurring amount. That is very, very helpful to what we do. And for those who have made those one-time, I say donations, but gift giving, because as we will be announcing, you know, as we go through the list of those who will be receiving the donations as it comes through us, praise be to Almighty God. We are so thankful. So, yes, $3,375. Can we find that $6,025? I don't know. We put it out there. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Latifah. Thank you, Aliyah. And back to you with Cheryl. Assalamu alaikum.
And thank you so, so much, Martha. That is our executive director of the CWSC. And $3,375. Inshallah, we want to raise $10,000 because it helps us to continue doing what we do here on AM360 and also CWSC. You can go to cwsc.us and click on the blue donate button that's located at the top right of the homepage to make your convenient, safe, and secure contribution. You can do that online. It's with PayPal, but you do not have to have a PayPal account. They also have where you can have credit cards. You can click on your credit card, and you can make a payment by your credit card to CWSC. And if you would like to call us in and give us the information, someone will take your call at 910-317-0297. 910-317-0297. And our representative will be happy to assist you. As Martha mentioned, our $9.99 a month, that's our most popular giving level. That's just 33 cents a day. It's a small individual amount based on all of us doing our part to ensure our intelligence is strong and ready to remake the world. So a reoccurring contribution means the monthly amount is automatically deducted from your designated account going to CWSC, and you can cancel at any time. It's tax deductible, so remember that. And during the month of Ramadan, we know that there's a multitude of blessings and charity. And so we know that, inshallah, it gives us the greatest reward for our generosity during Ramadan. All right? And if you want to, you can also mail it in at CWSC Incorporated, Marina, M-A-R-I-N-A Village, 4905 34th Street South, number 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. Again, CWSC Incorporated, Marina Village, 4905 34th Street South, number 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. And if anyone would like to donate today, that would be wonderful. Martha standing by. If you want to, just press 1 to get in the queue, and we can take your donation right today if you would like that. So we're always here. Do your donations online, during the live broadcast, or you can, you know, either call 910-317-0297, or you can go to paypal.com and use your credit card or use your PayPal account to make your secure donation, or you can mail it in again. And your contributions, they help us to support our entire intelligentsia. We have AM 360 broadcast, which you're listening to now. We have to pay that. Our, you know, we're working with our Speakers Bureau, our National Resource Directory. We had Sister DePrita was on. She's the director of the National Resource Directory, Volunteer Human Resources, College Scholarships, Learning Labs, Interfaith, Collaboratives. We were just in Florida this past Tuesday for the Interfaith with the Tampa Bay Area Muslims Association. And in that, we give to that as well, and Martha's a part of that. But we had a contribution that we gave to them as well. Interfaith and Leadership Development, Ambassador Programs, International Collaboratives, Health, Educational, and Financial Literacy Collaborations. So we are giving back. We're helping to remake the world into a better place, inshallah. Now, one other thing, a couple other things. The surah for today, did anyone have the surah that was announced on Sunday's program? It was announced. If anyone have that surah, you can press 1 because that is the prize that we will be giving. If anyone has that surah or listened to the program this past Sunday, April the 2nd, it was on reading of a good book with Sister Rabia Jackson. So if you listen to that, she read the surah. And what surah, she said, what surah, she read the ayat. So if anybody has that, you can press 1. There is a prize associated with that if you have that, inshallah. All right. And one last thing here is we're up again for our booklet, our AM 360 booklet directory. We would say it's a directory, ad directory, and it's on CWSC.us. It has its own, if you click on the it'll say AM 360 at the top directory. So all of your information goes right in there, and it's advertised, and we put it on our website, and we send out a mass, you know, of our mailing list and let everyone know. So if you have a skill, if you have something that you would like to advertise in our booklet, email us at info@cwsc.us. info@cwsc.us, and let us know I'm interested in getting an ad. And it comes out in May, inshallah, the first weekend in May. We will be putting that out. So we're taking, you know, ads from people that are interested. And you can also dial 910-317-0297 and leave some information. Let us know that you are interested in taking an ad out in our directory, inshallah. I know it was a lot of announcements, but I should have done some of them. But alhamdulillah, I am taking care of that. I am going to turn it back into the hands of Cheryl. She's going to talk more about her program and all the wonderful things they do on their program. All right, Cheryl, it's back to you.
No problem. I think it's great. I'm stuck in the announcement. I wanted to I wanted to preface before I tell you about the episodes. I wanted to kind of give a little bit of context about the MAP 5. Okay, so the MAP 5, the Muslim American Power of 5. This is what it stands for, right? And we were sitting around talking about, okay, so why do we call this show, right? And one of the things that, I mean, we went back and forth about this show and what's the name going to be and how are we going to capture people's attention and how are we going to get, you know, something catchy, and we are going back and forth. I'm just going to tell you, because vetoing names. And I was like, no, I don't like it. You got to catch your attention. And no, nope, that sounds boring. And no, nope, I want to catch your attention. And then it was really built on the five pillars of Islam.
Somebody loved.
But I didn't want it to be so in your face. Mm. I'm not a preachy person. And quite frankly, I'm just not a religious person. I'm a spiritual person, but I'm not a religious person. And I know that for most, certain Muslims, that sounds weird, right? But I believe that our relationship with God should be spiritual, not religious. I'm a linguist. I speak 9 languages. And mm-hmm. for me, words have a lot of power and meaning. And the meaning of the word religion is ritual. So if you're a religious person, then you're about the ritual of Islam and not about the spirituality that it brings. So if you're about the spirituality that it brings, then focus on the spirituality that it brings. And that will bring people, other people, into the fold. If you're only about the religion, then you're only about the rituality that goes with it. Okay, I say my 5 prayers. Okay, I give my charity. Okay, at some point I have to make harsh. Okay, I have to do Ramadan. I have to do. And it was something when I was growing up in my family of Christians and Catholics and Jewish, and it's not something we don't have to do anything. And it was something that my grandmother who was, you know, God rest her soul, very keen that religion does not, that your religion is one thing, but your God does not compel us to do anything. Your relationship with God is your relationship with God. And you should not be, it should not be a compulsion. And so I wanted, when we always talk about from masjid to masjid to masjid, all the way across the country, there's always a conversation at every conference about how do we get people in the masjid, especially younger people. And I do this with my own children. I'm not going to compel you. I'm not going to force you. My work as you grow is to teach you about Islam. My work is to teach you how to be a better person. And Islam is part of teaching you to be a better human being and to contribute positively to improving the human condition. But your deen is with you. That is your responsibility. I cannot. We individually have the relationship with God, but I cannot. I'm not responsible for my son or my other son or my daughter's being with God. That is there for them. I can only influence. I cannot own it. They have to own it. So the 5 is the 5 P's of power, purpose-driven, prayerful, politically engaged, and participate civic. Participate civically is really that charity aspect. And each one of those, like I say, they're all built on the pillars. So I wanted to make sure that you had a little bit of the background of how those five. It's a mapped five. And
so you said it's Muslim, American,
power of five.
Yes.
So when you say it, you don't hear the out. So most of the time you hear somebody say Muslim, American, power five, right? Really it's power up five, but it's power five. Muslim, American, power five, map five. And those are the five. Top. Yeah. And really what we focus on when we are developing guests or we're talking, we're really focusing a lot on discussing what our obligations are to transform faith into action and what it looks like. People talk about it, but what does that really look like? It's not going to happen organically. And so we're talking about proactive civic engagement. And how do we examine our role as believers in establishing a more just society? How do we inform and educate and engage our communities, our Muslim communities, our Black and brown communities? How do we engage our interfaith communities? How do we engage our community of believers on a sustainable level? How do we train and support future leaders? How do we, whether it's elected officials, or it's people in positions of influence in our masajids, in our schools, how do we get people elected and appointed to boards and commissions who are going to favorably bring sustainable, positive growth to our communities? How do we encourage and protect our leaders? And then on the other side of that, how and what does true accountability look like for ourselves, for our community, and for these elected officials? And I say that because a lot of times we have what I call drive-by politicians. You get people elected, and they don't show up for another 2, 4, 6 years until they want something. And it's not just their fault. It's our fault. It's our fault, too, because we don't demand it, and we don't tell them what it looks like. And then that's embrace them when they come back around, because that proximity to influence, that proximity to so-called greatness, that proximity to celebrity, that proximity to someone with a name is enough for us. Put it on social media to say that I was in the room is enough for some of us. And then there are those of us who say, yeah, no, that's not enough. This is not enough. Mm-mm. I need to see some work. I need to see some real results. And so, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I
just want to let you know one of your co-hosts is on, so I'm going to bring him on. So, okay. So
I texted him to let him. Good. I texted him to let him know.
Okay,
The last question.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Fleming. The last question that we asked.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Yeah. Ramadan Kareem.
Ramadan
Kareem. You got my text, huh?
Bien sûr. Merci très beaucoup, mon ami.
And the last question that we ask is, how do we create, how do we build, and how do we sustain collaborative and mutually beneficial coalitions with like-minded individuals and organizations that may or may not be Muslim? So some of our shows, if you've been listening, we don't always have strictly Muslim-oriented shows. We bring on believers of all faiths. And that is the beauty of Map 5, is that the beauty of it is we have had some wonderful dialogue
with really strong, like-minded individuals and organizations. And Brother Slim, I'm glad you're here now. I mean, we came out of the gates with the first show. It was a beautiful show. In January, we brought on a young woman who is a student at Cal, who is Muslim, Halima Barucha, who has been working for years with Alliance for Girls and who's doing some beautiful work, and she's actually studying for her master's of public administration, and she does a lot of work around equity and for women and girls. And safety, around safety for girls and women in public transit. We brought in Ms. Renee Richard, who does work with Cinnamon Girls. As a matter of fact, just this week, they just came from a visit to the White House, and they'll be taking a cohort of girls to Japan later this year. And last year, they went to South America, and they've already done a visit to China and to Africa last summer. We brought on Dr. Rhea Settles, who does a lot of work around education, both with parents and children, and civility work. We've brought on other episodes, Brother Fleming has brought on, especially he's been key on the East Coast, and I'll let him chime in on these ones about bringing on and some of our not just elected officials but Muslim elected officials to speak about the importance of the SCGC and just the work that has been done to elevate the conversation and the importance of visible Muslim leaders. Brother, you want to talk about some of those, some of that work?
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that, Sister Cheryl, and thank you for your illustrious presentation of our program. I think Allah has blessed us to have both the West Coast and the East Coast represented on MAP 5, and we focus in on more conversation-oriented programs, which is always a benefit because we learn from listening to each other. ACGG has been around since 1997. Of course, we have a national spread or influence, and so we try to bring in people from New Jersey, North Carolina, New York, et cetera, D.C., to be a part of our conversation in different capacities. The main part of it, though, is to demonstrate to our listening audience faith and action. And I repeat that, faith and action. How are you serving the community with your principles of faith? And so we brought on a number of people from our first convener of the American Coalition for Good Government. He's now representative Nasif Majid from the 99th District of Charlotte, North Carolina. We brought on Brother Jimmy Salam, who was with Imam Muhammad in 1997 in Charlotte when ACGG was first started. Judge David Shaheed, who was also present at that same meeting, who just returned back from Umrah, I understand, and a host of other people who are involved on just civic engagement and what they're doing in the religious fields of influence to involve the community. As Imam Muhammad told us years ago, we have to get off the carpet and go out of the four walls of the masjid and get into the community, really demonstrate our conviction to Allah and to serve humanity to the best of our ability. So I think Sister Cheryl has covered the details. I'm so proud to be a part of this group. We have Sister Amatula, who sort of keeps us fine-tuned, Sister Cheryl, who keeps us grounded, and I'm sort of like I'm the one to sort of keep things focused. Inshallah. Yes. Thank you very much, Sister Cheryl. Yeah. Thank you very much for your presentation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've got a lot going on. I mean, there's a tagline we use, you know, that life is about perspective. We change how you look at things, and the things you look at will change. There's some great shows coming up. We've got one this coming Monday. It's going to be looking at Humanitarian Day. We've got a sister who's running a wonderful food program here in Oakland. I mean, we've had a show. We had a recent show talking about reparations. We've had a show talking with sisters working with women, the Central California Women's Correctional Facility, and women who are incarcerated, women who are recently released, and who are running clothing programs for those women, Muslim women, Muslim women who've been subjected to involuntary sterilization, and what we're doing about that during Women's History Month. We've been talking about National Disability Awareness and as well as what that means, not just in the general public, but also in our educational systems. We've spent time, again, talking about reparations in California, which is leading the way for national reparations. We've had several panels on history on the black-hand side because it's a little bit different than the history that we've been learning on the other side. And then upcoming, we're going to be talking about healthcare. And so I really want to put this one out there because I want people to tune into this healthcare. This is not your great-granddaddy's program. So I want you to hear me. Hear me good. This is going to be, this healthcare might give me a little bit of trouble. You might kick me out the club on this one because we're going to talk about healthcare today. This healthcare session that's going to happen in May is going to be about, we're going to be talking about healthcare choices, including cannabis and CBD and THC and hemp and hookah and all of those choices and what that means in the context of what we're facing right now. Mm. We also are going to be talking about in June. Fathers and male role models and what that looks like. In May, we're going to be talking about mothers. And Sister Martha came on one show and she asked a question and we touched it a little bit, but I purposely wanted to punt it to May when we start talking about mothers and women, about women and women's roles in society and how it's been changing and how it's been being redefined. What woman is and womanhood and what that looks like. So we're not just tackling these small issues. We're tackling real issues and real strong issues. April is, so we had Black History. We had Women's History. April is Black Women's History Month. It is also Financially Fit Month. So this next month, these next few episodes, you're going to see so you're going to see a different kind of show. And this show, this upcoming show on Monday is the one where Sister Martella will be hosting Humanitarian Day. And then the following week, I'll be bringing on she's a good friend of mine, Cheryl Grant. Actually, I'll be bringing on a couple of financial persons who will be talking about getting your finances in order because it is Financial Fitness Month. But I'm also going to bring in a good friend, Cheryl Grant. Cheryl is, she won Miss Olympia at age 55.
Wow.
55.
Okay.
She transformed her body and her mind at 55 a few years ago. And then, but now she's launched this program called Fit for Life. And the FIT stands for faith, intuition, and tenacity. And so she's built this whole program around coaching people, and she's put together a bunch of subject matter experts in all of these areas. So they can coach you in different areas, whether you need to get, you know, you need spiritual coaching or lifestyle coaching or career coaching or actual physical coaching, and she's been going around the country. She's a speaker. She's a motivational speaker. She's a coach, just helping people get fit. But I love that she's built in faith in all of this into her practice. And so she and I've been friends. And I remember when she wanted to put this together a few years ago. And her goal is to reach 50 million women before she finishes this program. She's focused on women, but she also has been doing training with men as well. And then we will move on in
We've got other sessions. There's Bari Williams. He's a tech exec, and she's a diversity activist. She's a speaker. She's one of the few women who's been doing this work in the tech field of black women. She's a business attorney. She's been doing technology and negotiations and commercial agreements, privacy data. She's been speaking. She speaks at big events like Essence, and she's been called on MSNBC. She has a regular column with Huffington Post. She's a regular advisor. She has emergency technology transactions at her practice. She's a publisher with New York Times. She has her own book. She's right here in the area, and she's going to be coming on in May and speaking. So what we're doing is, I know that we talk about the intellect on the show, and I'm going to call this revolutionary intellectualism, because this is something that we need to be pushing the edge on. Why we want to be talking about things that that push us towards civic engagement and youth engagement, and how do we move towards making sure we're talking about the future and how civic engagement plays in all of it to broaden our world.
Well, have a lot going on. Okay, you wanted to say something, because we are at the end of our program, but go on, Fleming.
Just very, very quickly, one thing that we miss sometimes in our forums with elected officials is having an agenda that represents our values, our concerns, and so we try to promote that agenda from the website of the American Coalition for Good Government. We have a basic agenda that you can use in any location. It has basically 10 principles that we consider very valuable. And you want to ask your elected officials, will you include that in your platform and hold them accountable for that? And the last thing, we've been trying to promote a four-tier program across the country entitled O for Organize with other like-minded people in your community, S, strategize with them, I, implement a specific program, and then E, evaluate. So it's O-S-I-E. And that can apply to any community across the country. But you want to be engaged, hold people accountable, and have your own values you're contributing and solutions in your local communities to solve those problems that impact our quality of life. And again, thank you, Sister Cheryl, for your very comprehensive presentation of MAP 5.
Yes, absolutely. And it's Can I just say one thing before you go? In Spanish, we say this way, three words. Dilo, hazlo, pueblo. You say it, do it, prove it. Lizzie.
Yes.
So what does it
mean? I like that.
What does it mean again?
Dilo.
Say it, do it, prove it.
Hazlo, pueblo. Say it, do it, prove it.
Yep.
Daily, do it, prove it. I like that.
Say it, do it, prove it.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
And prove it. All right.
The seal for the state of North Carolina, you translate it out of the Latin, it means to be rather than to seem to be. That's the actual state of North Carolina seal that goes on all documents, et cetera. And, of course, it's in Latin, but it's very significant, the translation, to be rather than to seem to be. So, in other words, in our lingo, be for real.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Be real.
That's right.
Bring the real. Bring the real. Wow. Thank you all. Cheryl, you are so thorough. So I knew you were going to give us all of what you had that's coming up. And don't forget to tune in, this listening audience, to MAP 5 every Monday, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. you will get more of this. It's it's a political platform, and that's what they bring to AM360. This is a breath of fresh air, listening audience. So make sure you tune in this Monday, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You have Cheryl, you have Amatulla, and you have Finney. So you have all three of them. Now, it's map 5, but you only have 3. A couple other ones?
No, I'm good enough to take care of multiple.
I got three personalities.
I got multiple personalities.
Alhamdulillah. You're very versatile. And we're so fortunate to have Map 5 as one of our hosts here on AM360. And inshallah, we hope that you all continue with great success on your program. It's already successful. Just continue the success, inshallah. And thank you for coming and sharing. This is one of our fairly new programs on AM360, so I wanted Cheryl to come and talk about it so that and all of the group to talk about it so the listening audience could be aware that we have that political platform here on AM360, inshallah. All right, Ramadan Mubarak to everyone. Juma Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak. Juma Mubarak.
And don't forget to tune in back at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Share Your Juma with Katia Imam Omar Shakir out of San Antonio, Texas. And join us back here at 6 o'clock for Community Buzz. And also community developmental status with our executive director, Martha Nyla Abdullah. So we are so thankful that we have this great opportunity to come on the CWSC Friday Roundtable. I am one of your hosts, Latifa Ahami, with my co-host, Ali Abdul Rahman. Would you like to say anything before we leave out, Sister Alia?
Nope, you've said it all. I just look forward to seeing everyone next week.
Inshallah. Well, thank you all, Cheryl and Fleming, for taking time out of your schedule to be with us this morning. And listening audience, we know you had a choice, and your choice was to be with us. And we appreciate you so, so much. We could not do it without you. So may Allah continue to bless us on this journey that we call life. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu and Ramadan Mubarak. And we're going to leave out when Ramadan is here. That's our music for today.
Ramadan is here. Ramadan is here. Ramadan is here. Ramadan is here.
Who decided to move? It's Ramadan. Now I got a plan before it's come and gone. Getting close to Allah, spend a lot of time. See the condition of my heart like a sonogram. Everybody knows we got the fast, but does everybody know how the time is fast? Is it sleeping all day and the night's a blast, and forgetting the reward in the month of fast? I know you gonna wake up right, drinking water, maybe bean pie, praying at sunrise, fast in the day, keeping that jean tight, breaking fast with the day's part of where you're at night. Alright. It's a blessed month, doesn't mean that it's hard that you can't have fun, but strive in your heart for your Lord the One, and be blessed by your love when the month is done.
Bust in the door like, get yourself up, you about to miss a whore. Turkey bacon on the plate, but I'm beefing. I'm upstairs sleeping while they down here eating. Scenes like this, it makes me reminisce what it meant. Growing up with Ramadan as a kid, my homies buying up the corner store. Now latest quarter waters, we break it 8, but it's quarter to 4. They got jokes. something about blessings, heaven everlasting, asking, like your feds up on me. But dude, let me ask you for real, is you hungry? I hunger for the day when the sins of my slate be as empty as the food on my plate. And if you got jokes, man, here's a taste. Take a little bastard breath to the face. Donations, dinner invitations, many supplications. Good behavior means better reputations. Don't start nothing, no provocations. No fighting, no argumentation. From the fitness and the drama, take a vacation. Mobs is packed with a huge congregation. Some just come as an annual visitation. Some just come for the hum of the recitation. Memorization of revelation. Less temptation and more contemplation. Getting ready for the Eid celebration. Shake a lot of hands, giving salutations. Salam alaikum, peace upon the nation. The world is one, forget the segregation. Another Ramadan, congratulations.